remember when I was in grade school, there was a little poem that we learned by heart. And it was a nose that was tired and angry with the eyes. And he said, "It's enough. I have been serving you too long. I have been carrying those heavy glasses for you, and I am fed up. Starting tomorrow, I will not carry any more glasses. You do as well as you can." So next morning, the man left the glasses because nose didn't want to carry the glasses. And as he was walking on the street, he tripped over something. He fell and broke his nose. Bible tells us that human body is a marvel of harmony. Human body is an integrated system. Physicians could do much better the first part of my sermon than I will do, but if they are here, please forgive me for things I'm going to say, if I don't say something that is right. But I understand that human body is an integrated system. It is made of several organs. Human body is an organism made of several organs. And all of the organs exist and work for the whole of the body. The heart pumps blood into every organ. The lungs provide oxygen for every organ. Stomach provides nutrients for every organ. Glands and nervous systems maintain balance for the entire organism. My feet and my legs transport every single organ of my body. So does the brain think for every organ and feels for every organ wherever there is a pain or a need. And all of this human organism is very precious and very vulnerable. Human body exists in a hostile environment. It is surrounded by germs, by bullets, shrapnels, poisons, accidents, fat, cold, heat, all assaulting human body, all threatening the safety and the well-being of the human body. But for that reason, the Lord has provided human body with a defense system. And there are several aspects of that defense system. First, there is a skin, the most obvious protection for germs so that they cannot penetrate into our body. Then there are nerves, the alarm system. As soon as my little toe hurts, my head feels it and my hand reacts. Because there are nerves through which the electric current goes and gives quick email messages what should be done about my little toe. White blood cells, they defend differently. They have the kamikaze mission. When they see a germ, physicians tell us, the white blood cells rush to the germ, swallow it, die in the process, are eliminated, but they protect human body. That's why the physicians like to see how many blood cells do we eliminate. And if there are blood cells that we eliminate, that means we are sick because there are germs inside. Immune system. That's another arsenal where our body is so made that when foreign objects, dangerous substances, enter our body produces the antibody, the defense soldiers, who are there to neutralize the things that hurt us. However, one of the most important aspects of the defense system for the human body is self-control. This is the most unpleasant aspect of defending human body. because they control our mind. Our reason has to control our impulses, our emotions, our appetites, especially on Saturday afternoon between 1 and 2 o'clock when we sit at our table and when there are good reasons to eat more. There is capacity in human being to watch what is happening, to drill us. I'm running now 6 years, almost 6 days, it depends, about 40 minutes a day, and I'm not used to it yet. When I do about 20 minutes, I look forward to finishing, to get home and to relax. But there has to be something that pushes me on. Without self-discipline, self-defense, the rest of the self-defense, the white blood cells, the immune system, the nerves and so on, are not functioning well. Because I eat too much, I exercise too little, I indulge in all kinds of habits, and then my nerves are numbed, my blood cells and immune system are too weak, and my organism becomes burdened. And that's how sickness happens. Scripture tells us in Romans chapter 12 that church is the body. But it is body of Christ, because Christ is the head. And it also tells us that church is an integrated system of sensitive organs. We can start reading from Romans chapter 12. And it says in verse 4 and 5, "For as in one body we have many members, and all of the members do not have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." I, as a member of the church, as an organ of this church, I exist in the body, for the body, with the body. The gifts that I have, Scripture tells me, are given to me for the needs of the church. And gifts that you have are given to you for my needs. And you see the business transaction. I have few gifts which I can share with you. But I am to receive more than I give, because you all have gifts that are serving my needs. So that there is no independent, self-sufficient members. Not even Robert S. Falkenberg is independent member. He is also member of the church. He also needs to be served as much as he serves. No one does as he pleases. No one ever can claim that I can do as I please. Because when I do that way, I act out of fellowship with the church. And then I hurt the body. And I hurt myself. You know, sometimes it may seem to us that there are many more disfellowship members than the books and votes record. Can you remember some time you disfellowshipping yourself? I remember. But the church lives in a hostile environment. And every one of us knows that. So that no one of us can abandon any one of us. And I was a boy, my brother loved pigeons. He still loves them. And I remember what happened when a hawk appeared. To my thinking, the pigeons were doing the worst thing to do. instead of hiding in their nests, which my brother made in the stable, they all started flying. They all went up to the sky. But they flew together. Close together. We had about 20 of them. And they were close together. And then I watched them. And you know what they did? What they did is that they were not just flying regularly, as we can see. Some are on the outside of the circle and some are inside. No, they were moving constantly in and out of the circle, so that no one is constantly in one place. And they were always flying above the hawk. And then I would watch how the hawk would come from down and swoop and try to push one outside of the flock. Because if he can get one pigeon disconnected from the flock, he can have it. Church exists in a hostile environment. Sin, world, temptations, false brethren, false prophets constantly attack. But church also has its defense system. It also has its defense system. It has organization, no matter how much we like it sometimes, and don't like it sometimes, but it functions like a skin. Defines the limits, protects, creates the sense of belonging, leadership, standards of behavior. Then there are some members who have special gifts, like nerves. They sense when something is not right. Sometimes we have too many of open nerves. Too many people who know what is wrong with the church. But nervous system is important. And then there are some members who like white blood cells. When they see something that is happening, should not happen, they will give their lives to save those who are in trouble. Then there are those who, like immune system, work to defend the church with teaching, with sermons, with writings, with seminars, strengthening the fallen, encouraging the fallen and discouraged, and leading the young and weak. But the most important, the key defense weapon, which church as the body of Christ has, is also the sense of self-control and self-discipline. Church is connected. We are all members of each other. And church keeps in touch. There can be no one member that is hurting, that head doesn't feel, and that the church does not do what needs to be done. When one organ hurts, the head feels and gives order, and body reacts immediately and swiftly, kindly but aggressively, defensively and offensively, in both in at the same time. Defensively, as Pastor Bruce mentioned very eloquently last Sabbath, defensively, in order to protect the member, protect the organ. I don't know if you had opportunity to see what happens when accident happens. And paramedics come. First thing paramedics do is to get you away. Don't touch them. Because in trying to help, you can injure more. It's not easy. It's easy to think that you know. But paramedics know very well. The best thing, if you don't know what to do, is to do nothing. Offensively, towards sin, the germs, and the poisons. Turning the blind eye to sin is a dangerous thing. Because if that happens, then Sabbath after Sabbath, we hear sermons. Day after day, we read the Scripture. And we become spiritually saturated, spiritually obese, burdened with all kinds of knowledge, but without exercise. So that healthy church is active church. It's interactive church. It's the caring church. A few years ago, we had a program called Caring Church. It's a church that is involved. It is the church that notices when the symptoms appear. I go around the world almost, not almost, but really. And sometimes I'm asked to present a seminar on church discipline. And I tell them that the problem with some conceptions of church discipline is that we do not react until it happens. No one does anything to prevent. Well, I mean, we do a little bit to prevent. And to me, it is like if I go to Dr. Hamel and he sees my blood pressure 400 by 250 and he says, that's all right. You just continue living the way you live. Continue eating beef and whatever you like. When you have heart attack, then an entire team will come and start doing something. Interactive church senses when someone doesn't come to church. Or if someone is tempted, it intervenes early. It hears the calls. A young man that comes to church, half of his head pink, the other one green. You know what that is? That's a visual scream. Help me. That's church discipline too. Disciplined member is not the one under censorship and the one that is disfellowshipped. Disciplined member is the one who needs neither of those. Interactive church, caring church pricks when shots are needed to help failing immune system. It binds my hands if I thrash around and hurt myself. It cuts when surgery is needed. But then, and that's another important thing to remember, when the cutting is needed, then the person is put into ICU, intensive care unit. You remember in Matthew 18, Jesus talks about this fellowshipping, but he says, when someone doesn't hear the church, then take care of him the way I took care of publicans and Gentiles. Not the way Pharisees took care of publicans and Gentiles. ICU is the place when I should be placed, when I have done big damage to myself and others, and when convalescence needs to take place. This morning, this is not a sermon. It is a testament. I hope it's not the last will and testament. But it is a testament to you as my church. 1983, my family and I joined this church. My sons went to grade school here. One all 8 years and the other one 9 years. Here they were instructed by youth pastors. Here they were baptized. Here they are active ordained deacons. I cannot describe to you how it felt when for the first time I received communion from my son's hands. And I want to thank you for it. You have been good church. Here is where my wife and I come. We are nurtured. We are missed. You know, I travel 3 to 4 months out of a year. And to you, it's maybe just a passing comment, but I take it very seriously. When you see me on hallway and you say, "Hey, where have you been? We didn't see you." That's church. Interactive church. That's where you are missed, recognized and loved. But will you love me? Well, if I sin. Will you? Will I be treated as a son, as Paul described in Romans chapter 12? Will you love me to do the unpleasant in order to save me? No matter why I act self-destructively, if I have inherited high blood pressure, please treat it anyway. If I have received tuberculosis from my coworkers, even though you can explain where it comes from, please treat it. In Patriarchs and Prophets, page 522, Ellen White says that sin cannot be excused. Cannot be excused. However, I would like you to understand me. Treat my sin, but understand why I'm sinning. That is very important. As Pastor Bruce mentioned last Sabbath, it is very important that we know, because as I go around the world and do my seminar from time to time, I have heard many stories, and one story that I heard from a Baptist minister, I will never forget. He told me a story about a young lady who was a member of a very conservative Baptist church. And something happened to her that to man cannot happen. And it happens to her because of man. And after a few months, it started showing. And the church asked her and talked to her, and she would not say what happened. She would not say what happened. She was disfellowshipped. But she was crying all the time. A few months later, they heard of a man that was sentenced to death because he was going around and killing and raping women. And they found out that 3 of the 10 women that he raped escaped. And they found out that she was one of them. Know the facts. Just like the brain knows when it starts, when the pain starts in little toe. Know what is happening to me and why is happening to me. Not to excuse the sin, but to know how to treat me in the intensive care unit. Brothers and sisters, as I said, this is a testament. I want to go to heaven. And I want my family to go to heaven. I'm not the member of the church, period. My goal is not to be member of the church. My goal is to be member of the heavenly multitudes and millions who have come there. And I would like you to know, this is like signing the back of my driver's license. If I sin, do the unpleasant. Do it. I'm saying this because I see what is happening in Adventist Church. Church discipline is a very unpleasant thing. No matter how long you do it, after 20 minutes you wish it didn't happen. But it's a necessary thing. Not because I am better than any sinner, but because the head tells me. And if I'm a member of the body, I will listen to what the head says. Will you cut my hand if it causes me to sin? Jesus says, it is better to go to heaven maimed than to stay on this earth with both hands. I remember the situation that happened to me when I was pastoring. A young man was expelled from our college. He has done what he should not have done. His parents didn't know anything. All of a sudden I received a phone call, says, could you come to the airport to pick me up? I said, sure. Well, do your parents know you're here? No. So I went to pick him up and we started talking and he told me. I didn't know about the situation. Serious situation. And one of the first things he told me, he says, Pastor, I want to be disfellowshipped. And I said, why? He says, because this sin is happening in several generations in my home. And I want to get rid of it. It took about 3 months for the church to realize he would not accept anything else. And then I remember the business meeting. We met. And I asked the clerk, church clerk, to distribute two pieces for secret ballots to every member of the church. And then, because like in every church, you know, there were those Puritans who want to chase everybody out. And there were those who would keep everybody in. No matter if it is tetanus or whatever, they would never cut. They would never give antibodies. So then I asked the members of the church, those of you who love this young man today and who are anxious for him to come back, please say I. Just write I on the piece of paper. Well, there were some abstentions. That happens. Then I said, only those who love him can vote. Only those who love him. The young man was baptized about 6 months after that. Rebaptized. But you should have seen the church surrounding him like no one else. Inviting him. Young people surrounding him. He healed quickly. The reason why I'm telling you this is because about 4 years ago, I don't know how many years this happened, about 10, 15 years, about 4 or 5 years ago, I went to camp meeting and a lady comes to me and says, this is my name. You know the young man? I say, yes. Well, she says, I am his wife. And she says, I am here to thank you for leading the church when my present husband was going through problems. And I want you to know, we are happily married. Paul says, whenever we do discipline thing, it's an unpleasant thing to do at the moment. But it brings the good fruit for eternity. So my plea with you, and with for me and for my family this morning is, love me well. Love me until it hurts you. Don't love me to death. Love me to life eternal.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.